Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to an extra special edition of the Newsbusters podcast. And that's because we're all supposed to celebrate the Transgender Day of Visibility. We have to support their visibility. Welcome to the world of LGBTQ orthodoxy. It's kind of funny because the liberals used to be, you know, we're for breaking out of these conventions. These religious people impose their worldview on us and we all have to speak in their lingo. Well, there's a funny thing about orthodoxy. You're either in one or you're in another. Religious orthodoxy wanes, secular orthodoxy waxes. I was preparing for this subject, and I found a tweet today from Nickelodeon, the network for kids. There's a video there touting NickHelps.com. And apparently there is a trans actor, Michael Cohen, not that other Michael Cohen. The message in the tweet is, "Today is International Transgender Day of Visibility. Join us in celebrating people of trans experience by making the world a safer and more equal place for everyone to be fully themselves." You got all the lingo there, all of the ideological boilerplate. And then, of course, it helpfully suggests LGBTQ lobbying groups that you have to check out. Check out GLAAD and GLSEN, that's GLAAD with the at, and GLSEN, at GLSEN, to find out how to become better trans allies. Nickelodeon won't be putting out a tweet on Good Friday about today is a special moment for Christian kids. Join us in celebrating Jesus. That would be only catering to one small sector of humanity. As opposed to that tiny sector of humanity called transgender Americans. One of the things that was going around, it's not just the children's networks, it's the news networks. One of the things that's bouncing around conservative Twitter today is a story by CNN, the so-called Facts First Network. It's an article by a reporter named Devin Cole, a proud graduate of George Washington University in D.C. The target of this is the Republicans in South Dakota and Governor Kristi Noem, who has not shown the Republicans in South Dakota that she wants to pass the bill they want to pass to prevent trans women from participating in girls' sports in South Dakota. Governor Noem is very concerned that if you get into this muck, the NCAA won't allow any tournaments in South Dakota. Now, maybe I'm not all up on my NCAA tournament locations, but has the NCAA ever put a tournament in South Dakota? But this is what the PC people do, like they'll do in Georgia, like they did in North Carolina. All the corporations line up and say, we can't support a tournament in that backward red state. Anyway, this Devin Cole has a story, and it's putatively a news story, but it reads like a left-wing editorial. Let me explain what I mean. Let's quote. Devin Cole discusses the supposed harms of the participation of males in quotes, in women's athletics. to use the word males for people with male anatomy is, according to Devin Cole in his news article, an echo of the transphobic claim that transgender women are not women. You see the intimidating language that's used there? How dare you say people born male with male genitalia are not women? These are the same people that unironically use terms like the female penis. I suppose the male ovaries follow, and the male vagina. Devin Cole continues, the orders also reference quote-unquote biological sex, a disputed term that refers to the sex listed on students' original birth certificates. Devin Cole shames every mom and dad who put a sex down on their original birth certificates. What kind of horrendous discrimination was that? But here is the piece de resistance, the piece of hashtag resistance. Devin Cole of CNN, a reporter, a breaking news reporter, says his bio. Quote, it's not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth, and there's no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. Can you believe this? I tweeted to mock this. It's my moment of transphobia. That CNN is one of the liberal media outlets that will complain. It's sad now, in the age of Fox News, we no longer have a shared set of facts. They're all implying, you know, Trump has his own set of facts. Republicans have their own set of facts that are not facts. This is the same CNN that can't agree on the shared set of facts that babies with a penis are boys and babies with a vulva are girls. That's a fact somehow we can no longer share. So, of course, all of the left-wing activists in the CNN story are not described as left-wing activists. We don't do that. They're human rights groups, don't you know? They quote an activist from the Trevor Project, which, of course, is a suicide prevention group, because one of the rackets here in LGBTQ politics is to whenever you say, I think I'm going to oppose the legislation that you are proposing, they say, don't you understand that LGBTQ youth have a higher rate of suicide? This is the argument from intimidation. So when you oppose us, you're pro-suicide. You're pro-torturing the emotional state of these individuals. The lady from the Trevor Project says, our existence is an act of resistance, and our visibility is an act of bravery. The reality here is these people cannot take criticism. I'm not in favor of ridicule. I'm not in favor of mockery. I mean, I'm sort of in favor of mockery, the idea that this is our personal truth. That's what they can't stand. They can't stand that people will look at them and say, I hate to break it to you, but you're denying who you are. You're denying how you were born or who you were when you were born. And that is somehow a very horrible thing to say to someone. This story ends, the CNN story, the quote-unquote news article ends with a quote from Alfonso David, who is the president of the, of course, Human Rights Campaign. They don't call it a left-leaning advocacy group. It's a campaign for human rights. Alfonso David warns about we need to protect these youth from abuse, stigmatization, and danger. Because when you disagree with them, it's abusive. When you disagree with them, it's dangerous. When you disagree with them, you are pushing a stigma. And they can't seem to realize, well, what you're really saying is, we would rather make life dangerous for you for disagreeing. We would rather put the stigma on you for disagreeing. We are lining you up for abuse because you disagree with us. CNN.com is not putting out news here. CNN.com is putting out an activist press release really badly disguised as news, where you're putting words like biological sex in quotes, saying, this is a very disputed concept. Why don't we put news in quotes when it comes to CNN? Because the idea that they produce news is a very disputed concept. The column I wrote is about a similar story about South Dakota that was on the front page of the New York Times by a reporter named Jeremy Peters. This was a story which naturally referred constantly in it to Republicans, that naturally referred constantly to social conservatives. The labels are not wrong. It's just that the opposing side doesn't seem to get a label most of the time. It's the social conservatives and their harsh rhetoric versus the human rights people. You know they're conservatives because Jeremy Peters of the New York Times use words like this. They're going to restrict the rights for transgender people. They are standing on, quote, one of their last footholds in the fight against expanding LGBTQ rights. They, quote, single out transgender people for exclusion and feed ugly stereotypes, unquote. Conservative media culture, quote, often reduces the nuanced issue of gender identity to a punchline about political correctness. They invent rights. They create new controversies because we think a powerful, muscled male who decides he's a female is going to trounce girls at the track, for example. And when you object that girls' sports shouldn't be faced with this, where suddenly males of biological sex start beating girls on the track, well, you're for restricting rights. You're against expanding rights. You're singling out transgender people for exclusion. You're feeding ugly stereotypes, like boys are actually boys. And I don't like this whole idea that somehow the left is for the nuanced issue of gender identity. You have no nuance. You do have confusion. We have 56 acceptable terms for gender. Two-spirit. You know, we have all these words you can invent new ones as you go. Facebook will have 57 terms for gender. That's nuance. There is no nuance in their orthodoxy. You either obey or you're crushed. You're canceled. You're a hater. You're a bigot. There's no punchline about political correctness. There is a regime of political correctness, and it's dead serious. We can joke about it, but it's dead serious. You either submit to it like Nickelodeon does, or you're in trouble. And the New York Times, again, also suggesting that the news organization should be in quotes, goes to Media Matters for America to describe how bad conservative media is with their transphobia. Media Matters for America. We don't generally discuss them at the Media Research Center because they're nothing like us. They claim to be a media watchdog. What they are is a cancel army. These are people whose main thing in life is, let's get Fox News removed from the airwaves. Let's get Rush Limbaugh. They wanted Rush Limbaugh's radio show destroyed right up to the last minute. Now it's, let's ruin the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro. Let's try to get these people canceled. And the New York Times is openly allying with them. We assigned Media Matters the act of measuring trans bigotry in social media. Make no mistake, objectivity is dead. We will be back with Kyle Drennan in a moment.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
Joining me now, Kyle Drennan, senior media analyst, graduate of Providence College. They once were a college basketball power, but no longer.
It's been a few years, but they've gotten into the periphery of the tournament.
Well, I mean, I went to Bemidji State. I'm still they're doing well in the college hockey, but you know, that's what you got. Kyle is among other things. An expert on NBC and MSNBC just because of... Is the Today Show the one you watch over the bowl of cereal?
Yes. That is my cereal-watching entertainment.
Columbia Journalism Review did an article about Newsbusters, and I believe it began with Kyle Drennan over a bowl of cereal. And
yes. No, the writer of that was very intrigued by my morning breakfast routine, and so that was a critical part of the article.
So this morning, the Today Show is celebrating an award for Lester Holt. NBC is never shy about letting you know somebody wrote something nice about them or said something nice about them. And in this case, the Washington State Murrow School of Journalism?
Yeah.
Gave
Washington,
him an award.
Washington State University. It's the Edward R. Murrow Award. From Washington State University. And so, networks just love shameless self-promotion, so they're not shy about that. And so, the Today Show was just gushing, oh, Lester's so wonderful, he got the Edward R. Murrow Award, and they played a clip of course, the whole award ceremony was virtual, so he put in a video acceptance speech. And
they put it on YouTube.
So, and the clip they play on the Today Show was him saying, we have to be fair to the truth. We need to hold our politicians and leaders accountable no matter what. Now, of course, Lester Holt, I immediately found half a dozen examples of, him doing interviews with people like Biden, Hillary Clinton, Mohammad Zarif, the Iranian foreign minister.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And giving all of these people softball interviews.
Well, it's one thing to give American Democrats the softball treatment. We're all used to that. But it is just incredibly frustrating to say, and now the foreign spokesperson for the Islamic tyranny of Iran, now let's kiss up to this guy. What is that all about?
Yeah, no, in 2019 he did an interview with Mohammad Zarif, the Iranian foreign minister. And it was one of the questions was, is Iran willing to act militarily to break the U.S. stranglehold on your country because we have sanctions on the country? And it was just like, how are you going to break our stranglehold on your country?
And somehow
just like this is Iran, this is our enemy,
Somehow it's a terrible thing to suggest the media are the enemy of the people when America is putting a stranglehold on Iran. I mean, you're using the terminology of Iran state TV.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it was just like this complete promotional thing for the Iranian regime. And now he's suddenly saying, oh, well, we need to really hold people accountable. Well, okay. I mean, it seems like he's thinking of Republicans exclusively. He's not thinking of Democrats. He's not thinking of America's enemies, apparently.
Yeah, it's aren't you suffering from Trump just like the rest of us?
Yeah.
The recent hold interview I remember most vividly is him standing like 10 feet from Governor Andrew yep. Cuomo, and tossing him
almost exactly 1 year ago today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically like, you gave a stirring speech that was like sending soldiers off to war. Like, Andrew Cuomo, you're like the Churchill of COVID.
I think it was March 28th last year. So, and that was just a few days after Cuomo issued the nursing home order to put COVID positive patients back in nursing homes that killed thousands. And that's when he got the Lester Holt softball interview.
It's what they do. And of course, there he was in the Jacob Javits Center, which of course was the best known in current times as the location for the Hillary Clinton quote-unquote victory party in 2016. But they tried to make it a field hospital. But New York never really used those that much.
The hospital ship that was in the harbor was able to leave. They really never utilized it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, New York and New Jersey were like one and two in coronavirus deaths, or maybe deaths per 100, but I mean, horrible record. I mean, it's always fascinated me that Trump was responsible for every coronavirus death, and generally the worst states on this were the Democratic states, but, you know, it's one of those things that shows you the partisanship. So then Holt went on this thing about we have to avoid both sides-ism.
Yes. No, he basically said, well, fairness is overrated. And then he tries to do, oh, now don't go tweet that. Let me explain. His explanation doesn't give any real context to it. He's basically still saying, fairness, who cares about fairness? Who cares about giving weight to both sides? He says it's the idea like, oh, we don't need to give the same weight and same credence to one side as the other side on certain issues. But it's very vague. I mean, you have people in the media who say, well, man-made climate change, that's science,
right?
And there is no other position, there is no debate that is allowed to be had on that issue. I mean, if you talk about voting reform, now it's one thing if you're saying, oh, Donald Trump won in a landslide, that's false. But it's another thing if you're saying, hey, we want to, there are some issues with voting integrity, and we want to do some reforms to the voting system. That's a debatable issue. There's lots of debate, room for debate there. But if you listen to some of the reporting, they would say, no, anyone who talks about, any Republican talking about wanting to change anything, that's wrong. That's conspiracy theory stuff, and we can't even talk about that. So it's one thing that if you have some crazy person saying, you know, they're going to be Armageddon is tomorrow, and we're all going to be transported by aliens to another planet.
Right.
Okay, that person probably is not someone you want to sit down and have a lengthy discussion with.
Right.
But if you're just talking about an issue that there are a lot of different positions on and people have different ideas on, you should be able to have some sort of debate. And that's the problem. When people like Lester Holt say, no, there are certain things that we decided that there is no debate on, well, who are you? How do you get to decide what issues are debatable and what issues are not debatable? And that's the problem. They give themselves a lot of power when they say that.
Yeah, I mean, it is understandable to say there is such a thing as truth. If Donald Trump says he won in a landslide, if Donald Trump says windmills cause cancer, we're not going to give both sides of that.
Right.
Understood. But exactly as you said, we have with the transgender issue, they're going to try to sell us, well, we can't have both sides-ism, because the truth is we have no idea what the truth is on gender. All we have is what the viewpoint we want to push. But yes, NBC clearly had that whole episode of Meet the Press where Chuck Todd said, we're not going to have that horrible lying other side on here. It's all climate panic. it's not even that you can say, oh, well, let's stipulate that there's global warming and then have a debate about how to fight it. It's not even that. You can't allow a debate over the legislative proposals on climate right. change. It's you all have to submit to what we say the truth is. Just the idea that this phrase would come out of his mouth. What was it? Fairness is overrated?
Fairness is overrated. That's the quote.
I think that should be the new slogan for NBC News.
Yes, despite his protests, I am going to go tweet that.
We love to tweet out the video so that you know this actually happened. But yeah, this is a long-standing issue. I mean, going back to the whole idea that they named this award after Edward R. Murrow.
Right.
Now, if you're a young person, you probably go, who's this person? All I know from it is that black and white movie that George Clooney made. We actually watched that. We made it. We made a lunch party out of watching that movie.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, the jazz music in it was good. But this whole idea that Edward R. Murrow is the summation of truth. Edward R. Murrow was like the Dan Rather of his day. And what they tried to do to Joseph McCarthy was just one of these usual trumped up CBS propaganda documentaries, or his Harvest of Shame about the agricultural workers. They were making left-wing documentaries. They were doing left-wing interviews, and they called it truth. And so right. there's something about giving this award to Lester Holt, the Edward R. Murrow Award, which is perfect, which defines the entire history of liberal bias. But it's we're going to have to sit and jaw on that one. Fairness is overrated.
Yes. Yes, we're not in the fairness business as journalists, apparently, according to Lester Holt. That's not what he's about.
So is there anything else? I'm trying to think of, remember Savannah Guthrie. I mean, this is when we think about these segments on the NBC where they say, oh, there's been a very positive article written about us. And it was Savannah right. Guthrie and Kristen Welker. And I want to say it was Elle or Vogue or one of those women's magazines.
Yeah, and they both got these, like fawning, gushing profiles of, in a magazine.
And
yeah.
just remember Savannah Guthrie interviewing Trump.
Yeah.
And the way that she just came at him like Major the Dog. speaking of which... Major bites another person, and the news, two of the networks skipped that.
Yes. Yeah. No. That's just the latest Biden White House drama there. That they weren't interested in. Actually, the premise of that is that Savannah Guthrie magazine profile, and this was just like. This was back in the fall. This was after the election, after Biden had won. The whole premise was, we're going to do this. We're doing this fawning profile of Savannah Guthrie because she helped turn the election because she ripped into Trump during a town hall. Now, and we actually put out, Bill D'Agostino put out this great video contrasting the savage interrogation that Trump got during his NBC town, quote-unquote, town hall event, and then versus Lester Holt interviewing Joe Biden during another town hall, which was just all softball, just, basically, hey, Joe, say whatever you want. I'm just a potted plant here to help promote your candidacy. I mean, that's... So when Lester Holt talks about we're not into fairness, he's right. You're not into fairness. I mean, that's very clear.
And you underline something that's really interesting, and that is that they really do say the best kind of journalism is the journalism that leads to quote-unquote progress. So, yeah, Savannah Guthrie gets honored for getting Trump defeated, for helping Trump right. get defeated. And which reminds me of going back to another school, the Cronkite School, gave an award to Katie Couric because she savaged Sarah Palin
yep.
in an interview back in the 2008 campaign. And, of course, the Katie Couric interview with Joe Biden was all about, his which ice cream flavor he liked. And
Yeah, these journalism awards remind me of the Kennedy Profile and Courage Awards, where the Kennedys go around and occasionally they'll give a Profile and Courage Award to a Republican who does something liberal that they like.
Yeah, so it was Gerald Ford was, I think, the most sort of Republican-leaning because they gave him the award for courage for actually pardoning Nixon. And that probably upset a few Kennedy Democrats.
Yeah, that actually was, okay, that's a legitimate thing
They just gave it to Mitt Romney.
Yeah, they just gave it to Mitt Romney for the first voting to impeach Trump, the first impeachment.
The Ukraine impeachment.
The Ukraine impeachment in January of 2020. So they loved that. They also gave it 1 year to George H.W. Bush. I think it was when he was a former president, they gave it to him because he hiked taxes during his presidency, and they just loved that.
He was a profile in courage for saying, "Read my lips, no new taxes." I take it back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're not giving a profile in courage award to Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema for standing up to the Democratic Party. That's not what they're about. But yeah, I mean, these journalism awards are kind of the similar thing where it's like, you did such great work as a journalist by advocating for Democrats and damaging Republicans. Great, that's great journalism. It's infuriating.
Well, just the whole act that NBC has this segment all the time where they're celebrating the Kennedys giving a courage award to somebody. Where we'd say, and now earning the Ted Kennedy Chappaquiddick Courage in Swimming Award. Right. But I mean, they're. And the way that they used to do this with the Clinton Global Initiative, when the Clinton Global Initiative was really still an event, where they'd all be like, and now it's time for Bill Clinton to do his round of interviews, where Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert, I mean, usually was known as a fairly tough interview, but not with Bill Clinton, he wasn't. Not at Global Initiative time, and a bunch of journalists would moderate panels at the Clinton Global Initiative. I mean, all this just shows you something that we've always tried to say, and that is, they're cozy.
Yeah.
They're cozy with those Democrats.
And actually something Holt also said in his acceptance speech was, it's important to be respected, but you don't need to worry about being liked. Well, you know what? You guys seem to be very worried about being liked by Democrats. So, I'm not buying that. You want to make sure that you get invited to all the cocktail parties and that, Democrats and the liberal activists like you.
Yeah, that's what the clear code there is. We're here to be respected by other liberals. We're here. Right. We're not here to be liked by Republicans, conservatives. We don't actually care whether or not they watch our shows. Right. It's sort of like I remember you mentioning that about Jimmy Kimmel. I don't want Republicans watching this show. Go away.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think sometimes when you watch these shows, they have that whole ethic of, we're here tonight to sell you a list of talking points.
Yeah. No, exactly. And there's no both sides. It's just whatever the Democrats have told us is the correct position. That's what we're going to be reporting tonight.
I watch the NBC Nightly News at home, and I'm always, these days, what stands out to me is the graphics and the words they put behind him, that's where the talking points are coming through. So just in case the NBC News is on in an airport or a bar somewhere with the sound turned down, we're still getting you our message. I mean, it's not as obnoxious as the CNN chyrons used to be.
Yeah.
Now the CNN chyrons are all like, Biden says what's what. There's no, Biden said this, parentheses, it's not true.
The CNN graphics department suddenly got a lot less snarky and sarcastic since Biden took office.
Oh, it's
that's just a coincidence, I guess.
It's incredibly boring. So, I mean, I think that's, again, one of the issues we'll be looking at in the months to come, which is we're still interested in how the ratings are going to do. CNN, not doing well. Biden, they're presenting him as boring on purpose.
Yeah. No, it's like, oh, there's nothing, like, no controversies, no scandals. All of his policies are great ideas. There's just nothing to cover.
It's amazing. Well, I would say that it's always important for you to come around and come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening. Like, download, share. Let us know how we're doing. Thanks.